deep conflict of interest to the point of serious outright corruption that is attendant upon the EPA signing off on the Keystone XL. The fix was in from the start, as we all suspected, but we've got the names of the companies involved. Well, I guess the Trans-Canada just couldn't wait for the Trans-Pacific Partnership to be signed. A final environmental review is being released right on the heels of damning revelations about these close ties between the Canadian pipeline builder and Environmental Resources Management, or ERM. The company ERM was hired by the State Department to conduct the environmental review. There's more on that coming up. But wait, it gets better. ERM is a dues-paying member of the American Petroleum Institute. So are you with me? The company that was hired by the State Department to review the Trans-Canada pipeline is a member of the American Petroleum Institute. That organization has spent over $22 million, $22 million, lobbying on behalf of the Keystone XL. So none of this is surprising to the activist community. But now, of course, a lot more is being revealed. And good thing, too, that it's revealed now and not once the enormous pipeline building equipment has installed, which, of course, it already is in many places. The southern section of this thing is already a done deal. And closer to home, back in Cascadia, Joe may be a traitor, but not in the case of Portland's northeast neighborhood. He's not a fair trader anyway. The huge chain, Trader Joe's, claims that it backed away from citing one of their stores after negative public response. But since when has negative public response ever stopped one of these behemoths? Out in East County, Trader Joe's refused to cite a store in Gresham. What happened was the mayor of Gresham made a special trip down to the company headquarters in San Francisco to ask the management at Trader Joe's if they would cite a store in his fair city, Gresham. Here's what he was told. He was told Trader Joe's does not put their stores in communities where fewer than less than 30% of the populace has a college degree. So in other words, Trader Joe's told the mayor of Gresham that Greshamites were too stupid for a Trader Joe's. That's what it boils down to. So Trader Joe's is in no way responding to negative public reaction. They don't give a nit for negative public reaction. There's a great deal more here. And the Hollywood campus of Beverly Cleary Kindergarten through 8th grade school is going to continue serving peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. This despite concerns from the parent of a child with a severe peanut allergy. And I distinctly recall Ramona eating peanut butter sandwiches, I believe. And a letter from the Chinese government says that the December ban on shellfish imports from the U.S. West Coast will continue indefinitely. They may not have to bother. It seems that we're killing off our marine life faster than other people can eat them. Witness the starfish. Witness the massive dead zone that seems to abide longer and longer into the season out in our offshore waters. And look at some of the other die-offs which go unheralded by mainstream media. We've almost rendered our native fish populations extinct. The in Coos Bay, there are oysters there that are the only ones native, the Olympic oyster native to the West Coast. The others, of course, seeded from other places. Those would be gone if they put in a huge LNG terminal there. Just ask Jody McCaffrey, which we will later on in the week. about the progress of the Pacific Connector Pipeline. That's our own version of the Keystone. And in Minnesota, new legislation radically changes graduation testing requirements. Really? How so? Well, it allows high school students who fail mandated exit exams to take the something called the ASVAB, which, of course, is presented merely as an acronym on all the testing materials that students and their families receive. If you read down, if you search for the fine print, that ASVAB stands for the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, and I do mean battery, as an alternative assessment. Students simply have to take the ASVAB or one of two other exams to earn a diploma once minimal course requirements are met. Trouble is, the other two exams, non-military exams, cost money to take. And it's usually the low-income students who find themselves in this position anyway. But guess what? The Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery is free, and there's no specific score required. There's more on that, too. In other words, for the poorer, lower-income students are being funneled directly into the military. And you can bet that this is going to catch on in other states, and you can also bet that the shadowy hand of Alec is been moving there behind the scenes, pulling a few strings. Facebook, Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google yesterday began publishing details about the number of secret government requests for data that they receive. The intent of these huge companies is to show limited involvement in controversial surveillance efforts. In other words, these companies, Facebook, Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google, expect us to believe what they tell us about the extent and degree of their cooperation with the NSA in surveilling our messaging. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to believe it. And the weather for around Cascadia, mostly sunny today, highs around 37, east wind 17 miles per hour, gusting up to 20. For tonight, clear skies, lows around 21, that's right, 21. East wind 18 miles per hour, gusting up to 31 miles per hour. Wind chill factor, people, wind chill. And for tomorrow, sunny skies, highs are around 29. And again, that strong east wind blasting at us at 21 miles per hour, up to 33 for tomorrow night. Clear skies, lows around 17. And east-northeast winds 14 to 18, gusting up to 30. That's some serious weather coming up. Oh no, there's no climate collapse. This is just nature taking its course, eh? Okay, the alternative forecast, we have a waxing crescent leaf moon in Pisces. The moon is 4 days old. Our synodic people have this to offer. Leafy vegetables and annuals that produce above ground, but not till after this next week of hard weather. Grains are also good, not a good time for if you have anything out there, but you probably don't unless you have a greenhouse or growing herbs on your windowsill. Not a good time to harvest anything. It's the biodynamic forecast, moon in Pisces, it's a water sign, it's a good time to sow leafy plants, and the sidereal outlook, moon in Pisces, it's a water sign, good for growth, root growth. That's it for both the alternative and the conventional forecast. We're still trying to get Steve Horn on the line to talk a bit more about the Keystone XL. Well, first up, though, when Trader Joe's announced on yesterday that it was not going to build in Northeast Portland, nobody was happy about it. Neighbors weren't happy. The company, the minority-owned company that was slated to build the thing, isn't particularly happy about it. And both sides feel that they're right back where they started. Neighbors and business owners first discussed bringing Trader Joe's to that particular lot that's been in play back in 1999. This, at that time, it was part of a plan to revitalize Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard's northern stretch in other words, gentrify it. And for most of its life, MLK has been a commercial hub anyway. There were shops, there were restaurants, there was a theater. There was a great deal of commercial activity there. It just wasn't white. That was the only problem. Now that they've now that the gentrification process is pretty much a done deal, and you could get easily T-boned by a bicycle at pretty much any intersection over in Northeast now. Now, of course, Trader Joe's once again taking a long, hard look. And even at this point, maybe it's a minority company destined to build the Trader Joe's that they don't like. Maybe it's college degrees. But one thing is for sure, it's got nothing to do with negative public reaction. That seems to be a specious argument right from the start. Okay, well, the State Department, let's go get on to the Keystone XL question, because we have been trying to get Steve Horn on the line to talk about that. The State Department released the final supplemental environmental impact statement, or SEIS, S-E-I-S, if you hear that or see that acronym bouncing around, ricocheting off the walls, for the proposed northern leg of the pipeline. They, of course, as many people noticed, that this was announced on right before the Super Bowl weekend. And as we often say, there are no mistakes. So anticipating the report's release, insiders had been briefed on the review. It said that not a formal decision by the State Department on the permitting of the pipeline, but rather another step in the department's information gathering. It'll and they even acknowledge that it would disappoint. That's the word they use, environmental groups. And disappoint is a rather weak word for how environmental groups are responding to this. But the real story here is the ERM group. It's the dues-paying members, we said before, of American Petroleum Institute. And the collusion, and basically it's a question of serious corruption involving the State Department, involving the American Petroleum Institute, involving Keystone, and a foreign company, TransCanada. You think RICO would be involved in this? This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, February 4th, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, Obama taken to task for his flawed protesting policy in the public schools. Also, our regular weekly visit with Mark Carlin of Buzz Flash at Truth Out, and the witch hunt against former President Aristide and his supporters continues in Haiti. We'll feature an exclusive interview with the former Haitian Senator Merlan Libras, falsely accused of killing Haiti's most famous journalist. I'm Dennis Bernstein with Kevin Pina. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we continue our discussion of the President's State of the Union speech. And now we're going to address education. And we're going to see if we can get an idea from progressives, people who really think they're in the forefront, what they think about where the President is going. Joining us is Bob Schaefer. Schaefer is Public Education Director of the National Center for Fair and Open Testing. And, welcome, Bob Schaefer, to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, let's begin with an overview. The President did address education. He did seem to hearken back to some of the programs that have been sort of at the mainstay of the educational programs in the U.S., and he seems to think we're going in a proper direction. Your response?
The President's comments in the State of the Union address about education are largely recycled ideas that he has proposed before and are either failed or are unproven. His claims that the administration's policy, the Obama-Duncan continuation of George Bush's test and publish No Child Left Behind, except putting it on steroids through Race to the Top and No Child Left Behind waivers, is not improving our schools or closing gaps between racial groups. In fact, it slowed the progress we were making in the latter part of the 20th century when schools were moving ahead.
Now, what would be the documentation? How do you monitor that? And what do you think are the driving facts that support that claim?
Well, Fairtest believes not in any single test, but in using multiple measures. So to show that schools are not making significant progress, we rely on the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the federal government's own sampling test, which has showed a slowing or stagnation of progress in every racial group and in nearly every grade over the past decade when No Child Left Behind and its Obama-Duncan successors have been in place, and similar stagnation on scores from the SAT and ACT college admissions tests. Even Secretary of Education Duncan, a major proponent of ever more testing and high-stakes exams, says that our progress is stagnant.
All right. Well, if you had a few minutes with the president, how would you advise him? What would be your case in terms of where the educational system needs to go so that it really would be competitive? Because right now it's not even competitive in the context of the Western world.
Well, we tell President Obama to stop listening to major foundations like Gates and Broad and to Arne Duncan, who's never taught for a moment in his classroom, and instead to start heeding the advice of parents, teachers, students, and community activists, all of whom seem